Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. Happy holidays. I hope yours are merry and bright. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we have two wonderful holiday-themed shows. First, we have a very entertaining sitcom. Sitcoms would become the most popular type of entertainment when television came in. And Marie Wilson was a perfect dumb blonde playing Irma Peterson and provides lots of laughs with Irma's Christmas Party. Enjoy My Friend Irma, first broadcast December 20th, 1948, on CBS.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgotten, theirs will still be hot.
Christmas Eve at 8224 West 73rd Street, New York City. And on the third floor in apartment 3D, all is serene and quiet. Except for my roommate, Irma Peterson, who is reading.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Look, Jean, a mouse!
Now, don't get excited. It's lost. It's probably looking for Professor Kropotkin's room.
Oh, gee, Jane, I've never been so happy on Christmas Eve, and that's because I have such wonderful friends. You and Richard and Mrs. O'Reilly and Professor Kropotkin, and of course, Al.
Oh, by all means, Al.
Of course, I can't really consider Al a friend because I'm going to marry him.
Naturally.
And Jane, you don't know what it means to have a few good friends you can count on, especially a Christmas Eve. Well, you know, when you'd really like to be with your family, but mine lives over 1,500 miles from here.
Irma, you never say much about your family.
Oh, Jane, there isn't much to say. They're just an average family, just like me. Perfectly normal people. For instance, there's Anna Peterson, my younger sister. She's not as old as I am.
It figures.
And there's my brother, Ernie Peterson. He's engaged. To be married, of course.
Yes, of course. What about your parents?
Oh, I miss them the most. They're just like a mother and father to me.
You know that happens in most families, Irma.
But, gee, they're all in Minnesota and I'm here. But I'm not lonesome because I'm surrounded by good friends. And, Jane, I really appreciate them. That's why I'm giving a Christmas Eve surprise party tonight for you and Richard and Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Al.
Tonight?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Irma, honey. Well, I don't know how to tell you, but...
Tell me what?
Well, dear, excuse me, honey. Hello? Oh, hello, Richard. What? Yes, I know it's formal. No, I've never been to the Long Island Country Club. Yes, I'm terribly excited. It'll be our second Christmas Eve together. Oh, I'll be ready. Goodbye, dear.
Jane, you mean you're going out tonight with Richard? Or what about my Christmas Eve party?
Well, honey, you didn't say anything about it, and Richard invited me to a Christmas party at the Long Island Country Club. I'd hate to miss it. It's the affair of the season.
Oh, but this is Christmas Eve, and I thought tonight we'd be together. Christmas Eve isn't like other holidays, you know.
Well, I realize that, honey, but...
Well, I could understand it if it was Independence Day, then we wouldn't have to be together. We could be independent.
Irma, I'm terribly sorry, but... Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Richard asked me weeks ago. Anyway, my not being here shouldn't spoil your party. You'll still have Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Al.
I understand, Jane. I still have the others.
Sure. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. How are my two little Christmas trees? One full grown and the other a little sapling.
Why, Professor?
Excuse me, a little Yuletide joke. By the way, girls, a Merry Christmas to you both.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, Professor.
I hope you'll excuse me for coming down. I don't mean to interrupt, but I wasn't feeling so good. And when I don't feel so good, I always rush out of my room as fast as I can.
Why?
I wouldn't be found dead in that place. Well, girls, do you realize tonight is Christmas Eve?
Yes, and just look at that blanket of snow outside. Isn't it lovely?
That is a matter of opinion. If Mrs. O'Reilly doesn't put glass in my windows, not only will I have a blanket of snow, I'll have a carpet of the same material.
Oh, Irma, you'd better ask the professor about this evening before it's too late.
Oh, yes. Professor, will you come to my Christmas Eve party tonight?
Tonight? Oh, Irma, I'm so sorry.
You mean you can't come either?
Well, it can't be helped. Tonight I'm playing my fiddle at the Gypsy Tea Room. I've been practicing all day.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes, I know, but they pay me for it.
First Jane disappoints me, and now you.
Well, now, look, honey, the professor can't help it. He must earn a living. And after all, you still have Mrs. O'Reilly and maybe the Martins upstairs. And, of course, there's Al. Come in.
Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Oh, the same to you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Merry Christmas.
Say, Mrs. O'Reilly, that's a beautiful stairs. But that sign in the middle of it.
You don't like it?
Merry Christmas, lots of cheer. Remember the landlady or you'll freeze next year. To me, it's not a sentimental thought.
Miss O'Reilly, I'm giving a big surprise Christmas Eve party tonight for you and Al. Will you come?
Tonight? Oh, Irma, darling, I'm so sorry.
You mean you're too busy, too?
Yes, the Martins have invited me to go to Jersey with them. And since they owe me 4 months' back rent, I can't afford to let them get on the train by themselves.
This is awful. First Jane turned me down, and the professor, now you...
Maybe next year, Irma, dear. Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Oh, Jane.
Oh, sweetie, now stop crying. I know you're disappointed, but you should have told us about your party earlier. And besides, honey, you won't be left alone. You bought some food, didn't you?
What do you mean? Of course I bought some food.
Then Al will show up, I guarantee it.
Speaking of food, I think I'll go up to my room and have my dinner.
Are you cooking, Professor?
No, I just take one look at that dump, I sit down and I eat my heart out. Merry Christmas, girls. I'm sorry, Irma.
Honey, I'm sorry things turned out this way for you.
Oh, it's all right, Jane. This is one way of finding out who my real friends are. They're Al. Every one of them.
Come in.
Hello, Jane.
Hiya, chicken.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, gee, Al. Merry, merry Christmas. I'm so glad to see you.
Same here, chicken. I like being with you, too. Mind if I warm my hands on the radiator?
Well, of course not, honey. How'd they get so cold?
Wanted to take the crosstown trolley, but with all that snow on the ground, took me 4 hours to find a transfer.
Honey, that's too bad. And your poor face, it's so red.
That ain't from the cold, chicken. They caught me with yesterday's transfer.
Oh, my goodness, look at the time. Richard's going to pick me up in an hour, and I haven't even started to dress. Al, aren't you going to take your top coat off?
Oh, thanks, Jane, but I ain't staying. Just came in to wish Chicken a Merry Christmas. I got to be on my way. Got a big deal brewing.
Oh, Al.
Oh, Chicken, it's important.
Oh, you and your deal.
Business is business, Chicken. I got to be running along.
But I'll be left all alone on Christmas Eve. And Al, I depended on you, my own boyfriend.
Chicken, if I could only explain.
Don't bother. None of you must think very much of me if you can leave me alone on Christmas Eve. Fine friends I have. Goodbye.
How do you like that?
Al. of all the low-down, contemptible, good-for-nothing...
Hold it, Jane. I won't have you saying those things about the girl I love.
I'm not talking about Irma. I mean you. How could you desert her on Christmas Eve of all nights? Me, I have to go out with Richard, but you're her boyfriend.
Oh, Jane, I love Irma. And when a man is in love, he ain't responsible. He may do strange things. Things he'd never do in his right mind.
What are you talking about?
I went and got a job.
You got a job? Al, have you been drinking?
Knew it would shock you, but it's just for one night. Want to make a little dough and buy Irma a present.
Oh, well, I apologize, Al. I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Forget it, Jane.
Oh, gee. Listen, Al, the Christmas carolers.
Gee, that's pretty. Would like to stay, but I gotta get to work. Tell Irma I'll see you tomorrow, huh? Goodbye.
Richard. Jane.
Jane? Well, what's wrong? You sound terrible.
Richard, I can't go with you to the Christmas dance.
Why not? Are you ill?
No, Richard, I'm all right. It's just that... Well, Irma... You see, Irma hasn't any family or relatives in New York, and this Christmas Eve, all our friends seem to be busy, and I just couldn't leave her alone, Richard.
I wouldn't want you to.
Are you sure you mean that, Richard?
Of course, honey. I understand. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye. And Merry Christmas, Jane.
Merry Christmas, Richard. But, Al, I thought you left.
Came back for my hat. Didn't mean to eavesdrop, Jane, but if you're willing to give up a good time tonight for Irma, I guess it's my duty to be with Chicken, too.
Oh, Al, that'd be just wonderful. But wait a minute, what about the present you were going to get for Irma? If you don't work tonight, where will you get the money for it?
Gonna hock my watch.
But, Al, that's the only thing you own. You know that no matter how bad times have been, you always said you would never hock your watch.
Well, a man like me don't need a watch. I sleep all day long. So time is not important. And at night, it's too late to do anything.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Professor.
Excuse me, Jane. I've been thinking about poor little Irma, and, well... I decided to give up the job so tonight I could be with her.
But, Professor, won't that cost you money? You get big tips during Christmas.
On Christmas Eve, it's not important to make money. It's important to be with friends. After all, what's money?
Well, it's pretty important.
I see you've been talking to Mrs. O'Reilly again. No, my little Irma has no father in New York, so tonight Professor Kropotkin will be her father.
Atta boy, Pop.
Listen, Al, the first chance I get, I'm disinheriting you.
Excuse me, everybody. I took the liberty of walking in.
Why, Mrs. O'Reilly, I thought you were on your way to New Jersey.
I changed my mind. I got to thinking about poor little Irma being all alone tonight, and I just didn't have the heart to go. I'm going to stay here with Irma.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Professor Kropotkin just said he's going to be her father.
I tell you, if that's the case, I'll be her mother.
I got news for you. If you're the mother, I'll be on the train for Reno in the morning.
Everybody, I've got a wonderful idea. Irma was going to throw a surprise party for us. Now we'll throw one for her. We'll give her the best Christmas a girl ever had.
Swell. I'll go out and hock my watch and buy the present. I'll get my violin.
Oh, and we can have the party in my apartment. It's bigger. Come along, Jenny, and we'll start decorating. Oh, it'll be a merry Christmas. Come on, Professor. Take me arm.
A fair swap. She's been taking my blood all year.
Wait until Irma finds out. She'll be the happiest girl in New York.
La, 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 la. 6 for Harmon, Poughkeepsie, Albany, Buffalo, and Point.
Next? West. Where to, miss?
Please, mister, what is the fare to Minneapolis?
$58 round trip.
$58? I only have 6. Where can I go for $6?
$6? Let me see. How about Niagara Falls?
Oh, I couldn't go to Niagara Falls. I'm not even married. I'll find some other place to go. Merry Christmas.
Run the tip of your tongue over your teeth. If you feel a slippery coating, you have film on your teeth. And you need Pepsodent with Irium to remove it. For film is worse than you think.
Film collects stains that make your teeth look dull.
Pepsodent toothpaste removes film, makes your teeth look bright.
Film harbors germs that cause unpleasing breath.
Pepsodent removes film, makes your breath fresh and clean.
Film glues acid to your teeth. The very acid many dentists agree is the cause of tooth decay.
Pepsodent toothpaste removes film and the acids it contains.
Film never lets up. It forms continually on your teeth.
Yes, you have to fight film every day. So brush your teeth twice a day with Pepsodent toothpaste, because no other toothpaste can duplicate Pepsodent's film-removing formula. No other toothpaste contains Irium or Pepsodent's gentle polishing agent. So start now to fight film. Brush your teeth twice a day with Pepsodent, the toothpaste with an exclusive formula for removing film.
Well, we're down in Mrs. O'Reilly's room, the professor, Al, and myself. Al is beaming proudly. Come January the 1st, he will have completed a solid 6 years of steady unemployment. I'm setting the table, and Mrs. O'Reilly is out trying to find a Christmas tree.
Oh, me aching feet. I've walked all over, and I can't find a Christmas tree.
Well, did you see Irma anywhere in the neighborhood?
No, I didn't. But it's nothing to worry about. We must get the tree before she gets back.
Tree? Well, there's only one man who can help us.
Who, Al? As if I didn't know.
Who else but... Hello, Joe? Al. Got a problem. Need a Christmas tree right away. Huh? I can get one at Macy's already trimmed for a dime? Oh, the dime is for a glass cutter. The tree is in the window. No, Joe. This is Christmas Eve. When I hear jingle bells, I don't want them on a patrol wagon. What, Joe? You're playing Santa Claus tonight? Going down the chimney? Joe, this is quite a change for you, isn't it? Oh, you're going in with an empty bag and coming out with a full one. Well, Joe, nothing I can say except good luck and Merry Christmas, noble friend.
Oh, Al, what are we going to do? It's getting so late. Stand over there and we'll put out all the lights and give her a big kiss.
Come in.
Merry Christmas, honey.
Here's one for me. Me too, my darling daughter.
For goodness sake, will someone please put on the lights?
Richard!
I thought Irma needed a shave.
Richard, we didn't expect you. I thought you went to the club.
I couldn't take it. Same old crowd, same old monotony. So I realized that I'd rather be here with real people on Christmas Eve.
Oh, gee, Richard, I'm so happy, and you're more than welcome.
Where's Irma?
Well, she thought we were all deserting her, so she went out in a huff. That's why we're throwing a surprise party for her. We're waiting for her to come back.
Yeah, don't want to find chicken until we can get a Christmas tree, though. Got any ideas, Richard?
Why don't we go out and buy one?
Nice gesture, Richard. We'll wait here for you.
Richard, you don't have to.
It's my pleasure, Jane. I saw several on the way over. I'll have one in a few minutes. Be right back.
And I'll get the cake out of the oven.
And I'll make some punch.
And I'll tell you when it's right. Jane, what are you crying about? The party's taken form.
I know. So wonderful having everyone pitch in, Richard getting a tree, and all of you giving up things. Oh, this is the most wonderful Christmas I've ever had!
Look, lady, this is your third round trip on this ferry boat. Ain't you got a home? Ain't you got any friends?
No.
Well, take my advice. Make some.
All right, I'll try. Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Sleigh.
Oh, what fun it is to ride
on a sleigh.
In a one-horse open.
Oh, hold it, fellas. Look, lady, we're Christmas carolers. We don't do this for a living, but we enjoy it. And we rehearse a great deal. We don't mind you joining us, but we like to have the sleigh come after the horse.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fellas, let's do it again.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride
when the horse comes after the sleigh.
Look, lady, would you mind running along?
Oh, all right. I was just lonely. Merry Christmas.
Pardon me, lady. Have you got a dime for a cup of coffee?
Oh, you poor man. And Merry Christmas. Maybe you ought to have another dime for a donut.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, gosh, I don't have any change.
Would you like me to break that five for you?
If you don't mind. Are you all alone in New York, too?
Yeah. How about you?
I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota? How well I know that place. You know, you look very familiar.
I do? Oh, well, my name is Peterson.
Of course. You're Peterson's little daughter.
My father's name is George.
Here, let me think. Peterson. Hey, that must be George Peterson.
Well, how did you know?
Why, I remember. You used to live in
Minneapolis.
Let me see.
Minneapolis.
George Peterson. Minneapolis. That's the place. I never forget a name.
It's so nice to meet some old friends. Especially when you're lonely. You can keep the $5, sir.
Thank you. But this is only a loan. I'll return it the next time I see your father. Good old Fred Petersburg in Wisconsin.
No, it's Peterson in Minnesota. Mister!
Al, we've walked for miles. Perhaps we'd better go home and call the police to look for Irma.
Maybe you're right, Jane.
Pardon me, but you got a dime? Oh, Al, it's you. You got that quarter you owe me?
Mushface, ain't you got no character? How can you panhandle on Christmas Eve?
Great pickings tonight. Just got a fin from a blonde. Told her I knew her old man, Peterson in Minnesota.
Peterson? Al?
Mushface, which way'd she go?
Cross town. You know it?
Why? What's the difference?
I've been feeling like a crumb ever since I clipped her. Seemed like such a nice kid. Hey, would you give her back this fin? Yeah, thanks. And Merry Christmas. Hey, bud, you got a dime for a cup of coffee?
Come on, Al, come on. Let's go home and call the police. Now I'm really getting panicky.
All right, Jane, I'm with you.
Lady, I seen that picture, Mildred Pierce. Now you get off this bridge.
I was just looking at the water, Mr. Watchman.
Look, lady, don't look down there. Everything that's beautiful is up here. It's Christmas Eve, you know.
Yes, I know. I'm so lonely.
Oh, I get it. You're all alone, huh?
Yes.
Any friends?
Yes, but my closest friends are far away.
Well, now, don't you cry, sister. You're coming home with me. We ain't got much, but we're happy to share it.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, Sergeant?
Did you happen to see a blonde girl? Say, lady, what's your name?
Irma Peterson.
That's all we want to know. Come along, sister.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Didn't do what?
I don't know, but my boyfriend always says to say you didn't do it.
Now, look, Janie, we got to be brave. Now it's up to the police. They'll find it. But we got to take our minds off it. Mrs. O'Reilly, would you like to dance?
Oh, I'd love to.
Al, dance with her. I'll play the fiddle.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
How do you like that? I just started playing and already the neighbors got the police here.
No, it's a squad car pulling up. I think it's Irma.
My chicken.
Oh, Al, it is Irma. The police have found her. She's coming up the steps. Now, quick, turn out the lights, everybody. Come on, we can still surprise her and have the party.
Come in, dearie.
Irma, darling.
Surprise, chicken. Here's a big kiss for you.
And here's a kiss from your father.
Why, Professor?
Quick, turn on the lights. I'm dying. I just kissed Mrs. O'Reilly.
Irma, darling, Merry Christmas. Where have you been?
Oh, you're all here. I thought no one loved me, and I felt so alone.
Oh, honey, don't you know that people always spend Christmas Eve with their loved ones? And you're the one we love the most.
Exactly my sentiments.
Bless my little Irma. You're like my own daughter.
Sure, chicken. I'd never leave you. I want to spend all of my Christmas Eves with you.
Oh, this is the best Christmas a girl ever had, surrounded by her friends. Oh, it's midnight. Is that right, Al?
Wait a minute. Look at my watch.
Al, where are you going to the window?
Watch happens to be across the street. You're right, chicken. It's 12 o'clock. Merry Christmas, chicken.
Merry Christmas, Al. And Merry Christmas, Professor Kropotkin and Mrs. O'Reilly and Richard and Jane and all our friends. Merry, Merry Christmas.
And as for me, my sentiments are the same as those of my friend Irma.
Don't think that you are safe from film. Nearly everyone has it. Just run the tip of your tongue over your teeth. If you feel a slippery coating, that's film. And you'd better get Pepsodent toothpaste to remove it. For film collects stains that make teeth look dull. It harbors germs that cause unpleasing breath. Film glues acid to your teeth. The very acid that many dentists agree is the cause of tooth decay. And remember, film never stops forming. No, it never lets up. So brush your teeth twice a day with film-removing Pepsodent. No other toothpaste contains Irium or Pepsodent's gentle polishing agent. No other toothpaste can duplicate Pepsodent's film-removing formula. Get Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium today.
My Friend Irma is produced and directed by Cy Howard and stars Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane. Mark Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean and is brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Irium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company. The part of Al was played by John Brown. Hans Conried is Professor Kropotkin. Gloria Gordon was heard as Mrs. O'Reilly and Donald Woods as Richard. Music was under the direction of Bud Gluskin. This is Wendell Niles speaking.
The R-I-S-K, brisk flavor. That's what you get in Lipton tea. Yes, brisk flavor that picks you up, brings you back alive in a hurry. Brisk flavor that comes from Lipton's very special blending of the finest Orange Pekoe and Pekoe teas. Try it. You'll find that this brisk flavor of Lipton's leaves you refreshed and ready to go again. And you can enjoy it often, because even wonderful tea like Lipton's costs less than any drink except water. Always ask for Lipton tea, the brisk tea, with that heartwarming Lipton lift.
Tune in 1 hour earlier next week and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, followed by the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward, inviting you to subscribe on iTunes or Podbean. Next, we have a holiday tradition, Bing Crosby and his famous White Christmas on the Philco Radio Hour. We hope your holiday season is warm and wonderful. Enjoy Philco Radio Time with Bing Crosby, first broadcast December 25th, 1948, on ABC.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood, with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and starring Bing Crosby. As is Bing's custom at Christmas time, he opens the program with Adeste Fidelis, and as usual, he will sing it first in Latin, then with the studio audience joining him, singing it in English.
Yes, Ken, I think it would be very fitting if our guests here would join in a chorus. Come all ye faithful.
Bing, I think it'd be nice if the home folks, the folks listening in all over the world, would join in too.
Oh, it would indeed. Gather round, folks, wherever you may be, and help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste Fidelis, Laeti Triumphis, Fontes, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem angelorum, venite
very much. Skitch Henderson has jetted in for the holidays, and he now joins me in Mel Torme and Bob Wells' musical Christmas card, The Christmas Song. Art ready, Lyle?
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas program without jingle bells would be like Christmas without mistletoe or something. We're prepared. We're not going to disappoint you because John Scott Trotter has assembled a bouncy version of this perennial favorite. Looking at my libretto here, I see there are parts for the Charioteers, the vocal group, Skitch, and oh yes, Crosby catches a cadenza or two. Matter of fact, I open the affair vocally. Roll them, John.
Jingle, 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 jingle,
jingle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Thank you. jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle, 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 jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Esther, and that little number just fractured the vocal group in the Charioteers, threw in 8,482 jingles and never dropped a jingle. That kind of vocal work will give you a lower plate wobble, I guess. And now, here's the Philco man with a sprig or two of vocal holly, hmm?
And a hunk of mistletoe to you, Bing, from your ever-loving sponsor.
Say, the goose really hangs high here tonight. Mm-hmm. What's your Christmas Eve message for 1947, kid?
Just the season's greetings to our friends everywhere on behalf of Philco, its distributors and dealers.
Wonderful. Let's parlay that with a Happy New Year for 1948.
Yes, from all of us on Philco Radio Time, sincere good wishes for the Yuletide and the coming year.
My, we're certainly full of greetings tonight, aren't we? Nothing to sell?
Not a thing.
Isn't this sensational? Oh, the halcyon days are here in radio, aren't they? Jolly Noel from us all. I guess White Christmas could stand one last delivery before the season ends.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, be one.
We now present Charles Tazwell's Christmas play, The Small One, a story for those who like Christmas and small donkeys. The same winter sun that dances on the winter snows up north sprawls indolently at ease in the thick white dust of El Camino del Norte, Old Mexico. A passerby, weary from the heat, has paused to rest in the cool, dripping shade of a pepper tree and has dropped off to sleep. He's suddenly awakened by the shrill voice of Pablo, aged 10, who stands with bare brown legs wide apart in the center of the road and bitterly addresses a small, discouraged, disreputable donkey.
A donkey?
Don't you call yourself a stupid old fine animal with four stout legs, one on each corner, a most splendid tail to shoo off the flies, and a most handsome head stuck in the front to point the way you're going. I see. And what use do you make of this excellent equipment the good God has given you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're a disgrace to all the donkeys of Mexico, of all the world, of all...
Pablo.
See? Oh, buenos dias. I did not know that...
What's all the commotion here, young man? What has the poor beast done that you should be so angry?
But nothing.
Well, then why are you...
Then that is all he wants to do, ever. Here it is, but 2 days until Christmas, when a load of wood could be sold in the village to buy gifts and a candle. But does that matter to this one? No, he cares for nothing, but nothing.
Well, a donkey's a donkey, Pablo. They're all the same.
But why? Why of all beasts should a donkey be so stubborn?
Stubborn? Oh, no, Pablo. That's wrong.
But he's always...
I know. Everyone says they are. They curse them and they belabor their backs with sticks and they call them stupid, but that's because they don't know the truth about little donkeys.
The truth?
Yes. It's really not stubbornness, but pride that makes small donkeys so, well, so aloof. No wind, sun, rain, pain, or adversity can touch them. You see, their pride is a shield against all the discomforts man or the elements can offer.
But what has a donkey to be proud of?
Oh, a great deal, Pablo. Bring your small beast over here in the shade, and I'll explain.
Come along, Cupido.
Listen. Listen, Pablo, do you hear that? Only a small donkey can make that sound with his hoofs as he walks on the stones of the road. No other beast can do it. Sit down. Sit down, my son.
Si, senor.
Now, as I was saying, people are all wrong about small donkeys. A very long time ago, a great honor came to one of them, an honor so great that it lifted him and all his descendants to an exalted place. Place that you or I or all the world might envy. Ever since that time, every small donkey has been content to stand and drowse in the sun or the shade. For he alone of all animals, of all men, has already fulfilled his destiny.
His destiny,
yes,
senor?
Yes, you see, once upon a time there was a small donkey. He was 14 unhappy years old, and he had worked hard and long for at least twice 14 masters. He was battered and scarred, and he presented a most distressful appearance. His tail was naught but a piece of limp rope unraveled down at the end. One of his ears stood straight up like a cactus plant, while the other hung drooping like a wilted cabbage leaf. His off hind leg had a decided stiffness.
What was his name?
They called him the Small One. His latest master was a woodcutter who also owned four younger and therefore stronger donkeys, but Small One was the special charge of the woodcutter's son. It was the boy who saw to it that Small One always had dry straw for his bed, and that the load of wood to be carried to the town was not too heavy for Small One's aging back. One day the woodcutter called his son to him and said,
"Son?"
"Yes, father?"
"I have a task for you to do in the town, son."
"A load of wood?"
"No. I wish you to take this donkey, the one you call the Small One, to a shop just inside the town gates. I have already spoken to the owner. He'll give you a piece of silver in exchange for the beast."
"You mean... Oh, you don't mean you're going to sell Small One?"
"He can no longer do his share of the work. Even when carrying half the load the other donkeys carry, his worn-out legs tremble and his sides work like a bellows."
"But he'll be strong as the others soon. Will you wait and see? Give him a few weeks..."
"Enough. An old donkey is of little use. One day he might drop dead on us up in the hills, a total loss. Better to take a piece of silver and say good riddance to the beast. You will start at once. You hear?"
"Yes. Yes, father."
"The shop you will take him to is the second one on the left as you pass through the gates in town."
"The second? But that's the tanner's."
"And what of that? The Small One's hide is old, but it will make good leather."
"But he's been faithful. He's worked hard. He's done his best. You can't sell him to the tanners to be killed."
"Come now. I'll have no tears. No crying over a miserable donkey. Hurry, be off with you. And take good care not to lose that piece of silver on the way home."
And so Pablo, the small boy and the small donkey began their sorrowful journey into town. The boy was heartbroken. He cried for a while.
And then he tried desperately to think of some way to save his friend. The sound of the small one's hoofs on the road seemed to say over and over again, going to the Tanners, going to the Tanners. Suddenly it came to the boy's mind that there was a horse market in the town. If he could sell Small One to some new and kind master, the little donkey would still live, and yet the father would also have his piece of silver. Well, it was early afternoon when the boy and the Small One passed through the town gates and down the narrow, twisted streets to the marketplace.
Start the bid at 50.
50!
50 it is. We'll make it 51. Come, come, my friends. Are you going to let such an animal go for so paltry a sum?
Please, sir, would you like to buy a fine donkey?
What? What'd you say, boy?
This small donkey, he's for sale. I'm strong and willing. The price is very cheap. But what piece
no,
of...
No, I don't want to buy a donkey. Be off with you.
60 is the bid. That's more like it. You are here 62. Will someone say 62? Come, come, my friend. You'll never again get such a fine horse for so little cash. Look at the proud head. See the flowing mane.
Excuse me, please. This small donkey's for sale. Would you
what
like
what is it you want, boy?
This fine animal, he can be bought for only one piece of silver. Isn't that a great saving? They're bidding 60 for the horse, and I know he can't do half the work a small one. Look, he's very...
Go tender. Away. Don't bother me.
Well, but he's...
Go away! Or I'll take a stick to book you back. And now, my friend, I'm... 83! 83 is the bid! Do I hear more? No! 83 once! 83 twice! Sold for 83 pieces of silver! You've made a fine bargain, my friend. Now, who has the next animal for sale? Step up!
Please, sir, would you try to sell this small donkey?
Go away, boy.
Oh, but he's a very valuable animal. He's not nearly as old as he looks. It's just because he's worked so hard. And the other one that doesn't stand up straight as a donkey should. Well, that was the fault of a careless master, not his own. He eats very little, and he's terribly strong.
This is a horse market, boy. We've no time to waste on donkeys.
But a small donkey would take such a small time.
all right, my boy. If you insist. My friend! My friend! A great bargain I have to offer you. The proud owner terms it a donkey, but it appears to me to be an animated pile of shaking bones.
It's not.
You can see how the moths have been at the hide. And the tail, is it a tail? Or is it the stub of a broom worn out from sweeping the courtyard? A true museum piece, my friends, moldy with age. And loosen the joints.
He is not.
But it is not seemly to laugh, my friend, because the owner assures me that this animal is fine enough to share a stall with the king's horses.
Stop! You shan't make fun of him. Maybe he's not as handsome as your animals, but he's better. He's a lot better. Small one deserves to be in a king's stable.
All right, boy. Take your donkey and move along. We've got business to attend to. Hurry up, off with you. Now that we've had our fun and disposed of the king's donkey, my friends, I want to call your attention to these two fine Arabs.
And so the boy and the little beast left the marketplace, Pablo. The hours were slipping swiftly by, and the boy knew he must start soon for home, and that he must have the piece of silver to give to his father. He tried stopping people on the street. He inquired from door to door, but no one wanted to buy a small, tired donkey. The sun was sinking fast when he came at last back to the town gates, and he stood before the tanner's door. The boy's face was tear-streaked. The small one's head drooped so low that his limp ear almost touched the ground. The boy said goodbye to his small friend, and he asked forgiveness for what he had to do, and there was understanding in the little donkey's eyes. And then, just as the boy was lifting the latch of the tanner's door, a voice spoke to him.
My son?
Yes? Yes, sir?
I have a great favor to ask. Are you the owner of that small donkey?
Oh, yes, sir.
I have a long journey to make. My wife is not well. I have great need of a strong, gentle animal to carry her safely.
Well, Small One's very strong and very trustworthy.
Yes, I can see. Would you sell him to me?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. But for one piece of silver.
One piece of silver?
Is that too much, sir?
Too much? Oh, no. A very reasonable price for such a beautiful animal.
He's not very beautiful, but he's good.
Yes, yes, I can see that. I'll be kind to him. I promise you that.
Well, then he'll work so hard to please you.
Here's your piece of silver. Come, small one.
Do you mind if I come as far as the town gates? You see, the small one and
I... Not at all. You'll want to say goodbye to him, of course. You can do that while I see my wife safely on his back. Here we are. Easy, small one.
Goodbye, small one. You must be very faithful, and it isn't forever, you know. When I grow up and earn many pieces of silver, I'll buy you back. And you'll have a fine stable and nothing to do at all but sleep and eat. Won't that be nice, small one?
All right, my son. We're ready to go.
Late, traveler.
Yes, soldier?
I must make out the record before you can pass through the town gates. Who are you?
My name is Joseph.
And your wife?
They call her Mary.
Your destination?
Bethlehem.
Pass.
Come, small one. Goodbye, son.
Goodbye. Goodbye, small one. Be gentle and sure of foot. And carry her safe to Bethlehem.
So Pablo, the small one, traveled the many weary miles to Bethlehem. There in a stable which became a king's stable, he saw a king born. A king of men. Of centuries of life, of death. Yes, the small one's tired old eyes saw the shepherds and the wise men who came to pay homage to his small master. And he heard the voices of angels rejoicing, singing. Singing the very same notes his hoofs had rung out on the stones of the road. And then it came to pass that all those who had laughed at his ragged coat, his limping gait, and his drooping ear, they all envied the small one. But he was part of a great miracle. It was a long, long time ago, Pablo, my son. But today all small donkeys stand and they dream. Especially at Christmas time, they dream of the small one. The small one of Bethlehem.
This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week we look high and low through our extensive collection of transcriptions from radio's golden age to find something to thrill and delight you. We appreciate your tuning in anytime you have time to enjoy these classic radio shows. Happy holidays, and join us next week when we ring in the new year, 2017. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.